good to be in the house of the Lord, though.
Amen.
Amen. Did everybody have a great week this week? Okay. Did anybody have a week this week?
Yeah.
One person had a great week. How many had a really hard week?
There's 3, 4, 5. I wonder why that is. Do we have power? Can you hear me okay? You know, life is hard, yes? Do you ever sometimes, and you know, don't afraid, if it's not part of your script, just speak it. Do you ever feel like it'd be so much easier to just be like the world? Can I just do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want?
Boy, I'm glad I'm not you. Because that just sounds tumultuous to me. Life is hard. And I think if we look at the root of the situations we go through, it's not our fault. There's one in this world that wants to keep us off down, off kilter, distracted, tired, beaten down. And we're not going to let it happen another day, are we, church?
No.
What is that verse that I learned on Friday? We can do all things through Christ, through strength and faith. Can you imagine going through life without that arsenal? This is why I encourage you to read your Bible so you can find these little nuggets of truth that can equip us and you to make it. Life is hard. And so, as I pray, I ask that you would pray for me. Because for the last several weeks, I've been saying, these messages are hard. This message is hard. It may cause ramification. I might have to deal with something, or you might have to deal with something. And it won't be easy. It'll be hard. Anytime we look at truth, it's difficult. So let's be open and honest this morning. Bring about change. Is that what you really said? You know, when Miss Donna prays, pray for change. Because can you imagine what this church will look like when we allow God to do the work? Father, I thank you for this morning that we just get to worship you for free. We don't have to sneak around the streets or cower undercover. We can say, Jesus, we love you. And God, I pray for peace through this message. That you would guide my words, my thoughts, inflection, that I would convey this message in love, gently. Help me do that, Lord. I agree with Donna. I pray that this message would bring about change. Change that only you can do. So I pray that you have opportunity to move in a mighty and powerful way this morning. That not one person that you have brought here would leave this sanctuary, your house, unmarked or unchanged. Mm-hmm. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I know there's one person in the building that enjoys the study of the Beatitudes. And it's not just me. Someone actually said, I really enjoy this series. And we have just scratched the surface. We're looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, not just the Beatitudes. This is his first portion of his sermon. And I can't believe it's taken the better part of this year to work our way through it. How many have learned anything from these weeks? I mean, this has been a great study for me. It's been uncomfortable for me. And so we finally made it to the eighth. And actually, after studying this, I can see where someone might say, there's nine Beatitudes. Because, you know, if you count the Bs, there's more than eight. So I think, you know, and that's where I thought the error was. So they're just going down, be this, be this, be this, and so they come up with nine. But it's eight, I think. But I can see where it would be, you know. But we're at the eighth Beatitude, which is at Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. And in those verses, we read this. And just picture Jesus saying these words. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who went before you. What a great sniglet of God's word. Yes? Does anyone here enjoy being persecuted? Well, I'm scared. Don't fix your hair. That's weird. Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. Nobody enjoys persecution. So this morning, we're going to be taking a look at this nugget of truth to see exactly what's being said here. So first, we're going to look at those who are being persecuted because of righteousness. We need to realize that righteous people, those whose conduct is right in God's sight, becomes a target of the evil one. Why do you think life is hard? If you're following Christ, God is a faithful God. He cannot lie. He says, you will be persecuted. He also says, he promises, he cannot lie, you will be blessed. There's this tension, this conflict, this battle. Jesus says in John 15, verses 18 through 21, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Do you know God? Do you know his name? I know God's name. How cool is that? I am is his name. And there's a song that says, just as I am. And for the better part of my life, I've been saying, I want to live just as I am. Just as God, that's how I want to live. Don't we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? But do we mean that, church? Throughout the Bible, we can read of those who endured much for the cause of Christ. Take time this week to read Acts 13 and 14. Write that one down. Because you can add that to the reading plan that I suggested in the newsletter. Read through the four Gospels through Lent for the next 40 days. You can do it at two or three chapters a day. So read this week Acts 13 and 14. You'll see what Paul and Barnabas went through and how they responded. Take a lesson from somebody who went through it. We see in chapter 14 at verse 22, Paul saying this. He was actually strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. He said, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a promise. Paul also shares wise counsel from some of his life experiences in 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 15. You know, you can read that whole chapter this week. Just for something to do. We read, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures," listen, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ." You want to get through this life? Know Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." I don't know. Is it just me, or does this sound familiar? Someone owned this. Paul's saying this. He's saying it to Timothy, and he's saying it to you and me today. In my study of these verses in Matthew 5, something was pointed out that's really easy to miss, but it's important to pay attention to. For the first 7 Beatitudes, Jesus had been speaking in the third person form, using the words those, them, theirs, they. And then in Matthew 5:11, Jesus changes to the second person. He says, "Blessed are you. You will suffer. But blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you, listen, because of me." Jesus lets his followers know he's not telling them something about a group of people that are just living out there somewhere claiming, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Did you go to church?" "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian?" He's talking about the people that have entered into Jesus' kingdom. That's us, yeah? Okay? He's talking about you who purpose to live by a new value system. I mean, I'm going to follow the world. I'm taking my stand. He's talking to the one that confidently says, "I am his disciple." And they take on the character qualities that reflect him well. They put his teaching into practice. That's who he's talking to. Those people will be persecuted. Is that enough? Yeah. You're persecuted. You're despised. You're rejected. People are spitting in your face. They're holding you down and beating your feet. Right? For the cause of Christ. Yeah, I drive to church. I long for that cup of coffee between Sunday school and church. Christian. In verses 10 and 11, Jesus is specific to the cause of persecution. The important thing that Jesus emphasizes is for the sake of righteousness and on account of me, at all costs, Lord, I will serve you. I'm going to ask some really hard questions at the end of the service. The true follower of Christ is persecuted because they are a certain type of people. They live a certain way. They choose to live like Christ. And the world isn't going to like that. But Jesus will not compromise his standards to make way for the world's value. And neither can his disciple. That's you and me, I hope. Yes, I'm preaching to us today. And I've had to endure this for a couple weeks now. And it's ironic how God has placed predicaments in my life that make me live out what I'm preaching. It's not easy. Talk about feeling inadequate. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we will suffer for the righteousness we seek. I seek to be like you, God. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Jesus' phrase in verse 10, for righteousness' sake, causes us to examine ourselves before God prior to and after we face opposition. Oh, I'm looking forward to the conversation I have after this service. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1 Peter 4:12 through 14 that I read earlier, Peter, like Jesus, sees persecution as inevitable. And as true followers of Christ, we should expect it too. I'm expecting it. Because this is a hard message. And it's going to be really introspective. A person's devotion to a way of life focused on Christ can be measured by their willingness to suffer for it. Persecution then could be seen as a litmus test. Compromising with God's standard will not bring out persecution. Because compromise leads to agreeing with the world's value system. Oh, it's okay. Come on, it's not that. We can... Really? I was blown away by this statistic at Mercy Banquet. 7% of Christians. 7% of Christians go through what the world goes through. Aren't we supposed to be different? Aren't we set apart? And as such, we should live differently. Jesus says in John 15:19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why people hate you. No doubt, compromise will certainly ease the pressure of persecution. But it serves as a test to the Christian whose trust and authentic in their relationship with God. Are you trusting God in all situations? Are you authentic? Are you Christian on Sunday? And on Wednesday, who would know? It's hard to be Christ-like. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4:14, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. There's one in this world that this truth drives bonkers. The hand of God rests on me, and there's somebody that just gets right on this very last nerve. Satan. Not only does he hate God, he hates those who bear his holy image by the means of the Holy Spirit that is in them. Is Christ in you? There's a litmus test. If life's going good right now, you should be concerned. Satan works day and night diligently seeking to destroy the reputation of God's children. That's his full-time job. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He will do anything within his limited power to get us to retaliate by a worldly point of view. We just be like the world. That's our makeup. And God takes us out of the world and he makes us different. And the world sees it and they go, why are you that way? And then you have the opportunity to say, well, because of Jesus. When we look like the world, we display Satan's image instead of reflecting Jesus. There's no gray area. I'm all in. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I will serve him at all costs. I won't back up, be deluded, be still. I will preach up, pray up, preach up, stay up the cause of Christ till he comes again and calls me home. That's my conviction. That's my heart's desire. And I battle it every day. Don't look like Christ. It's so much easier to just coast with the world. The righteousness needed to respond to the challenges and the temptations that we all face in this world, if we're going to face those and live in a pleasing way in God's sight, that goes far beyond simply having good morals. Good moral people look good, but do they make a difference? Those who are characterized as having Christ's character, who are willing to respond to God's standard and refuse to compromise with the world, they'll be persecuted. That's the test. Fortunately, it's not pass-fail. His grace forgive me, I'll try better tomorrow. But don't ever... Do you have your cell phone? Do you have that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Can you pull that up? We're almost halfway through this, and we're used to going long, right?
You want me to...
Or you can read it. That way they won't hear my voice.
Okay.
Here, use it. Sorry, Bill. I'm making you work again.
This is from James Sun. One of the clearest marks of a righteous man, he doesn't quit, he won't give up, he keeps coming back for more. He knows how to take the hard punch, he knows how to work through the grueling pain. It isn't that he doesn't sin, or fail, or get off course, or need correction, or face challenges in hard circumstances. David's life is full of this and more. A righteous man bleeds, he isn't Superman. It's that in spite of all challenges, setbacks, sins, mistakes, he keeps getting back up, back on track, back on the narrow way. Though a righteous person falls 7 times, he will get up, but the wicked will stumble into ruin. Proverbs 24:16.
Thank you, brother. We take on Christ's righteousness when we have a right standing before God based on acknowledging the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for me. I will, at all costs, live for him. As such, there's going to be persecution in my life. And if you make that choice today, your life, and those who are in the world right now, I don't know where those people in the other country that we're praying diligently for are. But I know that there are warring angels. When Cheryl was praying, I just pictured angel wings covering and protecting her. And I cannot wait for the testimony when they come back and say, God, God, God. God is in the house. I'm just saying, let him move. We're going to be persecuted for the character and the quality displayed in our lives. I want people in Burnville to say, them people at Christ Little Church, Christ Little Tabahawking Church, love the Lord. They can't deny it. Young and old, what makes them different? Jesus Christ. We're talking about persecution for righteousness' sake, sinlessness' sake. Because of who we are in Christ, we bear Christ's righteousness. We proclaim His righteous standard, and that all who violate it are sinners, desperately in need of a sinner, of a Savior. We got plenty of sinners. I'm the chief. Me and Paul, we're brothers, but me and Christ are conquerors. So the world sees us as obnoxious. I learned on Friday night, we are torturous. What? Some lady on national TV says these people that are saving babies' lives are torturous. And then they show this picture of infant food and baby bottles and Similac and diapers, and that's what the world sees as torture. And they forget what a chemical can do inside a young girl's body that can just make a body decay. Oh no, that's loving. How upside down is this world? Church. And who's going to speak? You know, when I was probably 13 or 14, now 15 or 16, there was a music artist, I think it was Phil Cady, wrote, "Who will speak up for the little ones? Helpless and half abandoned." When I was 9 or 10, I remember the mission weeks where the theme song for the week-long missions conference was Untold Millions, Still Untold. Untold Millions, Outside the Fold. That was a lot of years ago. And the story hasn't changed, and I think Christians are at fault. Because we come to our crystal clean little boxes with our steeples and plastic windows or whatever the song is. You need to be a voice. So we're considered obnoxious because we believe in the one true and living God. Amen. Fortunately, for reassurance that we're doing something right to bring about such opposition, God's word, He saw fit to write in John 15:19, this is Jesus saying, they hate you because they hated me. Just compare me to Jesus. I'm blessed. No, you're cursed. No, I'm blessed. No, your life's miserable. No, I'm blessed. So if I live a life that reflects the righteousness of Christ, if you live a life that reflects Christ is in you by the way you live and how you speak, if we share the clear message of the gospel and confront sin and offer repentance for the good news of forgiveness to those who are walking in darkness, we're going to be persecuted. You okay with that? I'll go with you. There's going to be hostility. So let me ask you this. How are we to enjoy this? How are we to find ourselves at verse 12 able to rejoice and be glad? How can we get to that point in the midst of all this turmoil? Well, how about renewing our mind, change our thinking? That just came to me right now. That's a good idea. But I believe Peter gives a good insight in 1 Peter 4:14. Mm-hmm. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. How? For the Spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. He's going before me. I'll embrace the conversations. I want to fan your little flames into a bright light. I want to set this place on fire, spiritually.
Yes.
We're having enough issues. When we're willing to be uncompromising and share truth, God pours His Holy Spirit out on us so that we can speak the truth in love. We don't want to be unkind. We don't want to be ugly. But we do want to share the gospel of truth. Yes, church?
Yeah.
Why? Because that's our responsibility. More than that, because the captives will be set free. Their life will go from yuck to yes. We're going to have the opportunity to change people's lives for the good. Eternal life with a holy and loving God. Come to me. Say, what are you talking about, James? And I'll do my best to explain the truth. What is that verse in the Bible somewhere? Jesus says, I am the
way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me.
Thank you, church, for knowing God's word, hiding it deep in your heart. The truth is, no Jesus, no life. Wait. No Jesus, K-N-O-W. K-N-O-W, life. No Jesus, N-O Jesus, N-O life. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Who's going to tell the world that? Nobody wants to hear the truth. Tell me the truth. No. At the other end of the spectrum, those who reject the truth, those who reject Jesus, will not take kindly to us exposing them to the lust. They won't go to it. If we reveal the waywardness of their thinking and how the way they're living is on a slippery slope to the separation, eternal separation from a holy and loving God, mm-hmm. That's just how it is. This beatitude makes us aware that our level of commitment and dedication to God is tested by persecution. Am I persecuted? Yeah, I have difficult conversations. Am I being tied to a rock in full sun, deprived of water? But there are. There are people being beaten every day for the cause of Christ. Jesus doesn't say, if you're persecuted, attacks will come from unrighteous people. It's inevitable for those who choose to follow Christ, who choose to set God's standard as their standard. It's not a possibility. It's a fact. It may be difficult to see being an object of opposition, we're not seeing it as a curse. Because that's what the world will say, you're cursed. Why would you want to live that way? I see it as a blessing. As we're persecuted for doing the right thing, listen, we are assured that the kingdom of heaven is ours. I'm not making that up. That's what verse 10 tells me. And I'm asking you to believe it. Persecution goes hand in hand with serving Jesus. For that matter, we should really be concerned and question our devotion to Christ if we're never persecuted. And I would say it better this way. Or at least face opposition for his sake. Darkness hates the light. In other words, the world hates those who reflect the Beatitudes. Oh, you're meek. You're weak. How many here this morning are willing to take a hit on all sides to be a peacemaker? If it changes your life for eternity. These are the hard questions I want to ask. Are you willing to endure beatings? Time in jail? Giving your life, like hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to be hung the way my Savior was hung. Will you give your life for the cause of Christ? Matthew 5:12 tells us how. Because if you're willing to do those three things, or four or five, you'll be blessed. Matthew 5:12 tells us, because great is your reward in heaven. I'm not living for this world, baby. My home is in heaven. And my reward is great. Not will be. It is. The rest of verse 12 says, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. The prophets who went before us saw the need and urgency to proclaim Christ to anybody who had an ear to hear. And so should we. I'm going to close with the Gospel of John 3:16-21. And you're going to hear it in a different voice because I'm using the NLT. But this is what Jesus. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, in other words, come to Jesus, so others can see that they're doing what God wants. Are you willing at all costs to do what God wants? What does he want us to do? Love him, love others, tell everybody, make disciples. Simple task. And if you do it lovingly, it's paid for both. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be working our way through the Sermon on the Mount to see what it is to be a disciple. Bring to be. Bring two friends. Bring a couple enemies. Let God do the work. Next week's going to be off the charts. Plan to be. Father, again, we thank you for the time that we get to spend as a community of believers. And God, I pray that your word would not be robbed, killed, or destroyed. That the emotions being felt here this morning would not just melt away, I pray that this truth would make it out of the church parking lot, down Christmas Village Road, onto Burnville, into Reading, and wherever you take us throughout this week, that we would reflect you well in all that we do. God, continue to do the work you've begun in us, that we could make a difference for your kingdom and eternity. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.